Couple things. As I said, I'm the guest reader here, and it's terrible that John is going through this. The upside is that I have had the opportunity to go to the dictionary and look up some pronunciations and learn some new vocabulary. I wanted to clarify that when I say I don't mean I mean John, but John means I. And so as we go through here, you'll hear me saying I a lot, but it's really, I'm just quoting John here. In this refulgent summer, copyright 2005, Jonathan Dover. In this refulgent summer, it has been a luxury to draw the breath of life. The grass grows, the buds burst, the meadow is spotted with fire and gold in the tint of the flowers. The air is full of birds and sweet with the breath of pine, the balm of Gilead, and the new hay. Night brings no gloom to the heart with its welcome shade. Through the transparent darkness, the stars pour their almost spiritual rays. Under them, we seem young children, and our huge globe a toy. The cool night bathes the world as with a river, and prepares our eyes again for the crimson dawn. The mystery of nature has never been displayed more happily. The corn and the wine have been freely dealt to all creatures, and never broken silence with which old bounty goes forward has not yielded yet one word of explanation. One is constrained to respect the perfection of this world in which our senses converse. What am I? And what is? Ask the human spirit with a curiosity newly kindled, but never to be quenched. Actually, that's not from John. That's Ralph Waldo Emerson, Harvard Divinity School, address August 15, 1838. And so those eyes were Mr. Emerson's. But this is the opening of Ralph Waldo Emerson's world famous, in the small world of Unitarianism, world famous, Harvard Divinity School address. And it has been fodder for endless derivative UU sermons, as it should be. Now, this is the part where I miss John. When I chose this topic slash title, I really wanted to talk about all the beauty, the majesty, the mystery of existence. I wanted this summer to be a summer of warmth, contentment, and progress. I wanted to be able to concentrate on the good, to, in the words of the song, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and not mess with the mister in between. Alas, the world does not easily lend itself to be viewed through only one prism. Rather, we cycle from joy to pain, from wonder to terror, and from life to death. And in truth, Emerson, or as we call him, St. Ralph, though in fact his friends called him Waldo, he saw the complexity of our condition and was not quite as romantic as his opening paragraph seems to be. St. Ralph understood that life was not simple, and that neither religion nor philosophy, neither science nor magic, held all the answers to the deepest questions in our hearts. In some ways, he was part of the transcendentalist counter-reformation, trying to move the intellectuals towards a bit of poetry. Like Hamlet, he was saying, in part, that there are more things in heaven and earth than dreamt of in all of our philosophies. He was not rejecting reason, science, politics, or social justice. He was saying that the soul needs poetry as much as syllogisms, and that our words are an adequate net with which to capture the ineffable mystery of creation. In the refulgent summer of his address, the world was not perfect. There were wars. There was slavery here in America. There was social and sectarian strife that threatened to sunder our young union. None of this did he deny. But stepping back for a few moments, he saw the sun shine. He watched it shimmer on the leaves, He felt a part of the natural cycle of life. Buds to flower, petals falling, and living mulch birthing new life. He knew that in the impermanence of life was a certain compelling beauty that moves us to live, to experience, to act, to think, and not miss the glory and mystery in each day. There was no denial of pain, only an urgent sense not to be lost in it. Today is no different. When I looked at my topic and then watched the news, I wondered how to see the shining beauty of life. How could I talk of the hopeful belief Emerson had in our human intuition and our ability to have a greater understanding than we knew? I have watched our world this week through a prism of some personal pain and anxiety, not to mention the purple haze of doctor-prescribed drugs. My sciatica decided that 20 years was long enough to be absent from my good company, and it rendered me a surprise visit. This caused me some pain and considerable anxiety. Having had two back operations, I do not look at a third with any eagerness. As much as being taken down a peg might lead to a growth experience, I'd just as soon pass. So, it was in this mood that I tried to reconcile Emerson's hopeful ode to humanity's intuitive intelligence with the fear, folly, and ferocity I see flashing before my eyes on TV. Where is their hope when Jews scream Nazi at other Jews? Where is the hope when the Gaza pullout is simply dismissed as nothing by the Palestinian army and as a military victory and inspiration for more violence by Hamas and the Islamic Jihad? Unitarian Aldous Huxley wrote, "I live in Gaza." Humanity seems to be also heartless and clueless in Gaza. And that might just be a metaphor for the larger world. Where is the hope when 100 bombs go off in Bangladesh, set by Islamic extremists in an already Muslim state? Where is the hope when bombs are set off all over Iraq, killing Muslims and Americans, Iraqis and occupiers, with complete disregard for the humanity and dignity of anyone else? What am I to think about a confessed killer on TV calmly recounting his torture and murder of innocent victims, men, women, and children? Perhaps the shining I see is the result of seeing the world not through rose-colored glasses, but through my tears. And yet, despite the pain and suffering, the madness that we see every day, that touches our hearts and sometimes makes us want to close our hearts, this is a pretty amazing thing. Life. I think we have a tendency, all humans of all political strains and religions, we have a tendency to view the world dualistically, rife with fatal alternatives. We run from a romantic view to a cynical one, from it's the best of all possible worlds to we're a bunch of damn sinners. We see the world as religion, meaning too many, superstition and intolerance versus science and reason. I do not accept any of these as holy or wholly correct. We, along with St. Ralph, can trust our intuition and the direct apprehension of knowledge, and at the same time, celebrate our ability to make sense of creation. We can see the shining leaves and understand photosynthesis and have our appreciation of nature increased, not decreased, by our understanding. Our UU poet laureate Rick Mastin wrote in Let It Be a Dance that if nothing's wrong, then nothing's right. Without the dark, there is no light. These dualities are not opposites, but a continuum. As I lay in the waiting room, waiting for an MRI and keenly aware of both my pain and fragility, I have a heightened sense of the marvels of life, of those times, those not rare, but those everyday ordinary times when everything works out as it should. Perhaps only fragility reminds us to appreciate the hardiness of life and its ability to create and repair, to balance and restore. It's remarkable when we stop to think of it, which we don't do nearly enough. Emerson was, I think, singing the praises of the ordinary, everyday miraculousness of existence, of human life, of our reason, and of wonder. He was telling us that we live in two worlds, not separate, not distinct, but joined. Reason and wonder, science and intuition, they give birth to the eureka moments that illuminate the shining, refulgent effervescence of our lives. Yes, bad things happen, and the news is filled with their reports. And it is all true, but it isn't the whole truth. Yes, bad things happen to each of us. This too is true, but not the whole truth. Most people live lives of decency and generosity. Most of us make, give, get, and share love. Most of the time, life is a precious miracle, and those few moments that they aren't, they serve usefully to remind us to stop and notice the sunlight shining on the leaves.